Hi, everyone. This is Catherine Adams
and Elizabeth Wallace, and you're listening to Binary System Podcast number 425. And tonight, we're recapping Welcome to Night Vale number 254, The Triangle. And, you know, last recording, we had said that we didn't know if we'd have a Night Vale episode yet to recap this week. And, of course, we did, because we always say time is weird, but what actually we have a problem with is counting.
I think so, yeah. I mean, yeah. I think that boils down to all of our problems we have with scheduling and various things. It's just we don't know how to count most of the time.
No. Yeah, math. Anyway. It's interesting. They started out the episode by saying that there's a new season of Unlicensed. Did you ever listen to any of that?
No, I haven't. I was actually more interested in their announcement that the touring show The Attic is now available for purchase on Bandcamp. And I think it's only $5. So if we ever get stuck for content one week, we might as well try to listen to that at some point, because I'm still kicking myself that I never actually went to that particular live show.
Yeah, seriously. Okay, so the episode starts, and it's Mr. Prescott's fifth period AP English class, the three teenagers from that class who have been known as the library tweens. They don't want to be called the library tweens anymore.
Yeah, because that whole explanation that you mentioned there, that's a mouthful, and nobody wanted to use that, so they've just shortened it to the library tweens. But they want to change that because they want to continue being like the militia that protects the town. I mean, they've even got an LLC at this point, and they need something that's got a little bit more staying power, because they're not going to be tweens or teenagers or whatever for ages. So now they're off to have some focus groups, I think, and some planning sessions to try to pick a better name. But that's one half of the story that's going on in this episode. The other half is that there are cattle rustlers. Sorry, let me try that again. The other story is that there are... God, I can't talk today. The other story is that there are cattle rustlers out in the sand wastes, and they're coming into town. And I thought this whole thing was going to be a story about the fact that cattle rustlers will not be able to rustle anything because Night Vale isn't a town that has cattle. No, everybody has cattle in Night Vale, apparently. We've just never heard about it.
Yeah, seriously. And I thought it was actually going to be a story, like maybe a thinly veiled message, because Cecil seemed to be like almost inciting panic and like, everyone's got to rise up and you've got to defend the town. I thought it was going to be that thing where like they're making up stories about migrants at the borders or, you know, people eating cats and dogs.
Topical, right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But no, actually there are real cattle rustlers and they are actually rustling cattle, which yes, Night Vale does have a lot of cattle, everybody for one reason or another.
We have a PSA from the Greater Night Vale Medical Community, and they wanted to tell everybody that all of those spiders that you accidentally swallow in the middle of the night are surprisingly nutritious. So you need to not think about it as eating spiders, but eating a big bowl of cereal with milk, except instead of cereal, it's spiders. Instead of milk, it's saliva.
Ugh, so gross.
Yeah, but apparently, though, all those wasps that have been laying eggs in your ears, those are less nutritious.
Yeah, no, we don't like those. Okay, so the tweens have come up with a few names. I think among them was Vengeance Club and Ninja Squad, and they're working on getting social media set up. And Cecil's starting to sound a little irritated because he wants them to sort of stop dealing with social media and names and maybe handle these cattle rustlers.
Well, I think one of the bigger problems, though, is the fact that they're having their focus group for all this, and then they have to go back to class. And Cecil is not really sure how you can have a militia group protecting the town if they can't actually do any protecting during school hours.
Yeah. Okay, so John Peters, somebody had pointed...
You know, the farmer.
Yeah. Somebody had pointed the rustlers over in his direction, because they're like, maybe he has invisible cows, but he doesn't, because invisible cows would eat his invisible corn, so duh. But he said, maybe they should go to the zoo, because, you know, there's lots of critters at the zoo. I don't think they went to the zoo.
No, I don't. They actually got Harrison Kipp's two steer that he has, and those, he was saving those for a sacrifice to his weird church group, cult, whatever it is. But now, yeah, the cattle rustles. I don't understand why I can't say rustlers. What is up with
it's
that
a hard
today.
Word.
It's a
no,
hard
it's
word.
A hard
yes,
word.
The
yeah.
cattle rustlers have rustled the cattle now.
Yeah, and so now they didn't have a sacrifice for their weird god, and Kip's like, well, we can't make God unhappy, so he got two volunteers from the congregation to be sacrificed instead. It's getting freaking weird over in Kip's area.
It sure is. So we take a break to traffic, and there are five Kia Sportages all in a row, all in sapphire blue on the highway, and in some cultures, that was considered a very good omen if those cultures had known what a Kia Sportages was.
Yeah, pretty much Cecil thanked the Kia Sportages for their service to the community, I guess. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Yeah, whatever. Okay, so nearly all of Night Vale's cattle have been rustled. The council called on Sheriff Sam to take care of it, but Sheriff Sam shows up and the cattle rustlers are all ghosts. And Sheriff Sam basically went nope and ran away.
Yep. The library tweens have decided on a name. They are now known as Triangle. They have a logo and they've started a TikTok and a merch store. And now they're off on a field trip with the rest of their class. I think to the Grand Canyon, possibly. But
somewhere.
Yeah, so
yeah.
They're not going to be able to help with this.
No, and it's gotten really bad because Cecil can actually see the rustlers have shown up at the station. They're looking in his direction. They're pointing his direction. And I'm thinking, well, why are you worried? And it's because, of course, he's got a bunch of cattle in the break room because he bought them as a present for the Shawns. Because Cecil is he still station management?
He is still station management, yes. He is entirely he is the sum total of anybody doing any management at the station. So, yes, he was going to have a present for all the Shawns for their sales numbers this month, but now the wrestlers are headed inside the building.
Yeah. Okay, so the University of What It Is had gotten rid of the station management by explaining them away mm-hmm. and everything, but I thought Carlos managed to sort of explain everybody back. I think the one casualty for all that had been the glow cloud. Was he not able to explain back station management?
It sure doesn't sound like it, no.
Interesting. Oh, I didn't even think about that until now. So yeah, Cecil's saying, basically, come and save me, get your pitchforks, get your torches, get all your friends, and while you do that, you can listen to the weather.
And it was Danny Schmidt was the weather again.
Yay.
Oh, I loved this weather today. It was
so it was beautiful.
It was so haunting, I thought.
Yeah.
It was just,
yeah.
It was mostly just him and his guitar. But I think there was like people humming in the background to make the harmony. So, definitely going on my playlist. I love that.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Some really neat chord changes in the bridge and everything. But it was called Dark Skies. And he's definitely a favorite on the podcast.
Oh, yeah. He's
really
iconic at this point. He's as iconic as all of the artwork they do for the episodes now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Okay, so Cecil comes back and says, it's totally understandable that you were too scared to come out and save me. I was scared, too. He sounds not terribly upset about it, but he does seem a little put out that nobody came to save him.
And he called Carlos to warn him because Carlos had a couple of calves that he was raising as part of an experiment. And I think the experiment was, do calves like to be cuddled? And the hypothesis is, yes, they do. Well, fortunately, Carlos's neighbors brought over some old children's clothes and they dressed up the calves. And when the wrestlers came by, the only thing they said was, oh, that's some nice looking children you got there.
Adorable.
Yeah, and of course, Carlos was very worried the entire time because he thought that the calves were going to moo or do something to show that they were cows, but they didn't. They just sat there in the front lawn eating the grass like normal children, and the wrestlers went on by.
Yeah, it was very pleasant. It doesn't surprise me at all that kids in Night Vale would just sit in the front lawn and eat grass. So the wrestlers made their way from there to the station, and they did get the calves, and Cecil was too scared to stop them, you know, from taking away the calves that were meant from the Shawns. But as they were leaving, three people suddenly fly at them, and basically anytime the library tweens show up, they always look like a fight scene out of an anime every single time.
Yes, and it's not just them coming in for the attack, it's also the entire class that they were in, because Mr. Prescott thought this would be a really good field trip for the whole class to go attack the cattle rustlers. But the problem is they can't do anything to the cattle rustlers because they're all ghosts. And suddenly you hear Tamika Flynn shout, stay back, stand away from the ghosts. And she's there with Sheriff Sam and the secret police. And the secret police are all still too terrified to do anything to the ghosts. So the ghosts are just whistling up the cattle and walking away.
Mm-hmm. Until strangely enough that it took that long, one of the library tweens, I'm sorry, the triangle, shouts out, "They're just ghosts. They can't touch us." And everybody rushes in and gets the cows back. And now the ghosts are trying to stop them, but they can't because they're ghosts.
Yep. And all the cattle get sent back to their owners, except for Harrison Kipps, because everyone is still a little weirded out by his weird church and his weird god. So his two steer have been donated to the high school so they could be sacrificed in a normal ceremony to a normal god.
Yeah, just when I thought that was going to be heartwarming, I'm like, oh, no, never mind. Sorry, I forgot this was Night Vale for a second there.
So judgy. Jeez.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Okay, so they were trying to thank all the members of the triangle. I'm going to try to not call them the library tweens because they've said they don't like that. But the town was trying to thank them, and the teens basically said, no, we're all the triangle. You're the triangle. Every one of us, we all come together. And then they all jumped up and high-fived, and their high-fives kind of like slowed down to meet in the middle. And then they got a video of all of it, and they posted it to their social media because now everything's about the social media.
Yeah. And one last thing before everybody dispersed, they thanked Tamika Flynn for being such a good influence and inspiring everybody. And she was actually very touched because she said she was starting to feel a little brushed aside by everything. And then there's this interruption. No, wait, thank her again, but let's get it on camera. So yes, this overwhelming obsession with getting it on social media, but it's fine.
Yeah. No, it's fine. Tamika needed to be thanked. That's good. It wasn't Symphony Sanders' voice, though, so I can't wait until we get her. She's always such a great guest artist on the show.
She is.
And that was it. That was all for Night Vale. So moving on from there, both of us have watched a lot more Lower Decks, Star Trek Lower Decks. Yeah.
I'm loving every bit of this. I mean, they had a scene in the end of one episode where Ensign Mariner was absolutely furious at the first officer for the fact that, you know, she wasn't going to press charges for the fact that he stabbed her in the foot, but he was going to send her to the brig for not listening to him when he told her she needed to roll her sleeves back down. So it's just, they're dragging her away. She's like, ah, joke's on you. I love the brig. It's my favorite place. And she's throwing things around as they're dragging her out of the room. I'm going to bathe in your blood.
just, it's so great. And every episode has like a theme that they're kind of like looking at some particular aspect of Star Trek life and bringing it into the episode. And it's so clever.
It is so clever. And so freaking good-hearted. Like the whole episode with the one cyborg character. What is his name again?
Oh, I can't remember. Isn't that awful?
Because he's like thinking that he needs to have a new career and work in a different department. And it's like every single time somebody tells him that you're the best thing that's ever happened to this department. I can't imagine what we would do if you would leave. And he says he's leaving and they all cheer him on because they know he's going to be great in his next department and they'll be lucky to have him. Just every single time.
Every time. And let me tell you, I got done watching the second season Night Before Last. And there is an episode, I won't tell you which one, but there's an episode where this incredibly tense situation is happening and everything's going on and then something happens and I cheered. And I know that's really vague, but it's not just funny. It's not just clever and it's not just good-hearted. There's some like actually good drama going on in places. It's cool.
I think, the green-skinned Ensign Tandy, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
There was that whole storyline where she interrupted one crew member who had been like spending years trying to ascend to a higher form of consciousness, and he finally manages to do it at the end of the ceremony, and it's painful and he screams a lot, and I'm just watching this going, oh my god, this is dark.
Yeah, it can get really dark too. Oh my goodness. Yes, so they're not afraid of that. They don't get nearly as dark as Rick and Morty, obviously.
Oh well, yeah, you know,
but they can get dark from time to time.
Yeah, so it was fine. Just I'm enjoying the heck out of it. It's so much fun.
So fun.
And I'm also really enjoying the third season of Mayor of Kingstown. Nothing's going to hit the high water mark of season one, but everything is definitely very chaotic. There was another jump scare where a bunch of cars got exploded out of freaking nowhere. So that was startling. So many instances of people not listening to Mike. And Robert, the SWAT team leader, is really making problems for everybody because he's just like, I mean, they're trying to arrest all of these Aryan in their meth lab, and he just blows them up. And they're trying to arrest one of the guys who bombed all the cars in the police station parking lot, but they have to get the location of the other person who helped him and the person who put out the order to do that, and Robert kills him. And it's just like, it's his default. Just kill him, kill him, kill him, kill him. He doesn't care, absolutely doesn't care.
Yeah, but he's obviously, I mean, he had gotten really badly injured at the end of season one. Yeah, it was the end of season one.
No, it's season two.
Oh, when he was in the hospital?
Yes.
Well, hang on. Because I thought that he was in the hospital and gotten beaten up, and he was in the hospital at the same time as Mike's mom.
Right, that was the end of season two.
Oh, duh, you're right. Oh, God. Here, I was thinking, ignore me. Yes, you're right. End of season two, yes. So he'd gotten super beat up, and he was saying that he was fine to go back on duty, but he's clearly not. I mean, he was always a little unhinged before, but he's gotten so much worse since the accident. I mean, it's just before he seemed to be, like, certainly willing to do some killing if he needed to do some killing, absolutely. But now he's even making his fellow cops uncomfortable, and that's saying something.
Well, and also this default idea about just taking him out. Kyle managed to talk the second guy down and get him to, like, put his hands up and then get his hands behind him so he could cuff him. And meanwhile, like, everybody's got their guns on him. And Kyle's just like, it's fine. And you could tell that both Ian and Robert were a little bemused that he did that, that he was able to talk somebody into surrendering and nobody died. I don't think they could really get their brains around that. But that whole thing with them having to chase down the guys who bombed the police cars. I loved the bits with Bunny and his whole crew are listening to the police scanner like they're watching a sports thing. They're like, yeah, yes, this is great, because somebody else is on the receiving end of cops being mad, and they're fine with that.
Oh, yeah. Nobody doesn't have any problem with that. So, yeah. I mean, I love the actor who plays Bunny. He does such a great job.
Yeah, and they capture one of the guys, and Bunny calls Mike and tells him, I've got something of yours, which I think is what he did when he called to let him know that Iris had been rescued.
I think so.
But Mike comes in and he sees the guy is tied to a pillar and he's all beaten up. And Mike just kind of looks at Bunny. Is that necessary? And Bunny said he failed to comply. I can see that. I just like that exchange.
Yeah. But yeah, nobody listens to Mike, and it continues to happen over and over. Yeah.
But that was, I mean, yeah, he's got the big bad that he's dealing with both in the prison, who's the leader of the Aryans, and then Constantin, I think, who's taking over Milo's stuff. And yeah, Mike was not happy to see Titania had been murdered, especially since they put her baby in the dumpster with her and the baby almost died from that. Were you also expecting that Kyle was going to adopt the baby?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was going to happen too.
I'll give you something for nothing. It doesn't happen.
Good. That's just so tired. I hate it when they do that. Because it's like, yeah, you're going to disrupt your entire life. I mean, yes, it does happen. There are very good people out there. I just don't think any of those people are in Kingstown.
No, I don't think. Not even Kyle. He's definitely one of the better people in Kingstown, obviously. But no, not even him.
No.
So, yeah. No. More excited. Now, has Mike had a conversation with the big, bad Aryan guy in the prison?
Yes, he has. And told him that he's going to be working with him and giving him...
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm sure they've got plans within plans to try to deal with this. And I just hope that somebody in all of these plans listens to Mike.
Hate to tell you, very few people listen to Mike. Sorry.
Oh, well.
That's not a spoiler. You already know that.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. Okay, so what I finally watched the final episode of The Umbrella Academy.
And is it worth it?
I think so. Certainly for a completist's sake. It's the whole season is not strong, unfortunately. Not just because of the Netflix bloat, but there's a plot going on that I'm not always entirely sure what people are doing. What is the motivation of anybody, and what are the mechanics of things going on? It's not always. It's a little overwieldy, I suppose. But every scene goes on way too long. I can understand why people didn't like the final episode, because it's not going to be the type of ending that everybody's going to like. However, I thought that within the context of the story, I thought it was fine.
Okay.
I thought it was decisions were made, and I think that's totally fine. And I don't find that it ruins anything, you know? I just think it sort of establishes the fact that this was not a very strong season, so the ending was also equally a little odd. But, there were some good moments here and there, and some surprising things happened every once in a while. So, yeah, I would say definitely, you know, it's worth a watch, but it's not one of those, oh, my God, you have to watch it right now so we can talk about it type of things.
Uh-huh.
You know, when you get a chance.
Sure.
And it's only six episodes. So it was a very short season this time around.
All right, yeah, the thing that I was worried was that we would have unhappy endings that characters hadn't deserved and happy endings that characters hadn't earned. And can you confirm if any of that is the case, or are you not going to do spoilers?
I'm not going to do... You know what? Now that I think about it, I kind of think that anything unhappy was kind of earned, and anything happy was actually earned.
Okay.
I didn't feel like... Yeah, I mean, it's just like... It isn't the happiest of ending, and yet it's not the unhappiest of endings. I don't know. I mean, yeah, it's interesting. It was an interesting needle that they threaded, and in that respect, I think they did a pretty good job at that. So
okay.
It's all right. But yeah, I could see why a lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of people who want a specific type of ending, and they ain't gonna get it.
Well, the only other thing that we watched this week, Nathan's podcast, the Midlife Crisis Task Force, they decided they wanted to watch a movie and discuss it later, and Hap picked the movie, and it was the 2013, I think, movie Coherence, and I've talked about that before. Have you seen that yet?
No, I don't think... You know, I don't know that I have, actually. What was the story?
It's a group of friends that meet at one of their friends' house while a comet is going overhead and weird things start happening.
I haven't seen it.
I think I enjoyed it more the second time through, knowing what was happening. And I'm still kind of impressed at the audacity of where they ended it. Because it's different. I don't think I've seen a movie do that before. So yeah, I would recommend it. It's got some weird moments of like, oh God, is that what's happening? Sort of moments. So yeah, it's not really horror, but I think it's a little spooky. So it's good but now that we're getting into spooky movie season.
I was actually just thinking about that the other day. I happened to re-listen to our podcast on paranormal activity, and I was like, whoa, the nights are getting longer and the sun's setting earlier, and I think it's time for us to set up our horror movie watching list.
Yes. Well, I will definitely post a link in the post here to Nathan's podcast. And they're also going to have a list of spooky songs. They wanted to put together a list of that for the Halloween season. So, yeah, that's some fun things coming up, I think.
I like it. But I guess that will wrap us up for the week. So make sure to check out pixelatedgeek.com for all the book reviews, the movie reviews, the comic book reviews, the photo galleries. Though, really, we haven't had any photo galleries or comic book reviews in a while because I still can't get my act together. So.
Well, I just finished reading the China Mieville Keanu Reeves book, The Book of Elsewhere. I liked it. I still don't know who contributed what to the writing process. It definitely feels different from any of China Mieville's other stories, but it's a different setting, too. So I think that's kind of be hard to avoid it feeling different, I think.
Nice. Very nice. And I'm not even going to do that because I was going to say, I'm going to write a review of, I will never do that. So all of that and more, pixelatedgeek.com. So next week, no Night Vale, no Laura Olympus, but I haven't watched any more of Chaos yet, and that is next on my list of things to watch. Mm-hmm. I would have watched it last night, but me and Wade actually went to go see Murder on the Orient Express at the Globe, and it was very fun.
Right, and somebody that we know is in that production, right?
Yes. Yeah, it's family friend David Breitbart. They did a great job, and the set is just amazing. It's a moving set, and it changes to different scenes, and but they interact with the set. Anyway, if you're in San Diego, and there's still some tickets, and they have extended it a week, and there's talk about extending in another week, so definitely look into that. But and I'm sure maybe if not gonna do that either. I was gonna say maybe I'll get Wade on the podcast. Wade's not gonna get on the podcast. Sorry, Wade, I know you won't. But one way or the other, we will talk to everybody in 1 week.
Talk to y'all later. Harrison Kipp thought this would be a really great field trip from everybody to go attack the wrestlers. But the problem
is... Oh, wait, you said Harrison Kipp. It's actually not Harrison Kipp. It's actually Mr. Prescott.
Oh, Mr. Prescott. Sorry.
That's right.
Try again.
All right.
And they're also going to be releasing like a link of... And they're also going to be releasing a link... Fucking hell. And...